This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Cheryl Corley. College campuses were hotbeds of debate during the Vietnam War. With the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan, student reaction is more muted, but still passionate. Haverford College, 10 miles outside of Philadelphia, has 1,200 students and a heritage of Quaker nonviolence. It's a school NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams knows well. He's a 1976 graduate and now a board member. He visited Haverford and spoke with four students about what's transpired there since September 11th.
I'd heard that there were two school-wide Quaker meetings to consider terrorism and the U.S. response. One of the meetings had degenerated into sharp political debate instead of the exercise in conscience that the administration had intended. So I decided to talk with the students.
My name's Shane Danaher. I'm a junior. I'm a mathematical economics major, and I'm from Maple Glen, Pennsylvania.
My name's Kyle Smitty. I'm from southeastern Ohio. I'm a sophomore here, so we haven't declared majors yet, but I'm looking at a political science with a peace studies concentration.
I'm A.M. Corbage, and I'm a sophomore. I'm probably going to be a French major, pre-med, and I'm from Syria in the Middle East.
My name is Sarah Wolcott, and I'm an anthropology major. I'm a junior. I'm from Berkeley, California.
Sarah, did you go to that meeting?
Yeah, I was. The president of the college, being from a Quaker background, sent an email out to most of the Quakers and asked, like, would you in particular come to this, because we want to have this to be a morning ceremony. And we want to do it in a fashion that will respect all the religions. I think the first person who spoke was an elder from outside of the college community, and he was very political right off the bat.
Shane, you're the co-president of the college Republicans. You thought the meeting should have been purely a religious function, almost a point of mourning for what had occurred.
I hesitate to use the word religious because not everyone's religious, but yeah, mourning, essentially. I think that would have been significantly more appropriate for the occasion.
And Ahmed, as someone coming from the Middle East, did you have a stronger emotional response, you think, than the students you saw stand up?
I actually went to the meeting with some of the exchange students who are here because I'm one of their student resource persons, and we went together, and during the meeting it was definitely very emotional, and for me specifically because a lot of people started to talk about like consequences and some negative comments about like Arabs having to do with it. It really like got to me. Like I cried for a little bit, and I felt like there was some sort of anti-foreign sentiment associated with some of the comments that were said. So it wasn't just me coming from a Muslim background and an Arab background, but I felt it was also other students who were American as well.
And they all felt as if in the Haverford community there was an antagonism towards them as foreigners.
After the meeting I spoke to some of them, and it was definitely like a discomfort in that level. It wasn't very like explicit, but they definitely felt it. Just there's so much patriotism that it seemed offensive at some points.
Has there been any talk on campus about a possible draft? Has anybody on campus decided that they want to leave school to join the military, or expressed a sense that their life has changed, that their sense of mission and being an American has been transformed by these events? Sarah?
I've seen one or two people who are talking about going into the military after college.
Who would not have talked
who would
about
not, who were, who were just sort of maybe think tossing the idea around?
Shane?
I'm sure there are some, but I would say that it's an extraordinarily small faction.
Even among college Republicans here?
Yeah, even among college Republicans.
And Ahem, what about students who come from other countries, but specifically from the Middle East? Do you hear them talking about now being less likely to want to live in this country, or even possibly saying, you know what, if there's a draft, I would join the U.S. military?
Actually, there's only one person who's not from the Middle East, but who wasn't originally from America, and he said to me that if there was a draft, he would definitely leave. And
leave the United States?
Yes, and even thinking about leaving now. But I feel like I have to stay and experience this. Even though if I wanted to, I could go back to the Middle East. I don't know that that's a solution. I feel like there's a reason why I'm here and I have to experience this. But I'm not joining the military anytime soon, and I wasn't thinking about that even before. So.
Okay. Sarah, I wanted to ask you, as an idealist and a pacifist, how's this whole event changed you?
Very challenging for me as a pacifist. Very, very challenging for me as a Quaker. And Quakerism is not about not acting. It's about you wait a little bit and you try not to act in violence. It's not about not retaliation. It's about not retaliating violently. I think that's a very important distinction that I want to make. And so it really brought me to the question of what does it mean to be nonviolent in a society which is in a world which expects, which not only is violent, but expects you to be violent. I don't know the answers yet.
Shane, how have these events impacted your sense of your college years and whatever idealism you had, especially as a leading Republican on campus?
I think, one, it's been very interesting to watch some of my, let's call them less conservative friends, and how their views on tangential issues such as defense spending, things like that, have changed in a month and a half because of one day.
And Kyle, did you feel as if some of the idealism was bled out of you by the terrorist attack and the U.S. response?
I would say if I come to the situation as an idealist, there's something in me that says that these people are more humane than we think. You know, what other options do we have? What if we organized 200,000 people around the country and walked in with media and everything into Afghanistan and pleaded? Would you think, I mean, I don't know how ridiculous this sounds. Maybe this sounds ridiculous, like they would just annihilate us all. But I really wonder if the people would say, these people want to talk to us. They're not about just wanting to kill. I think these people that are committing these acts, there might be that of God, as Quakers like to call it, within them. And they might understand that there really is a call for humanity in general. So I don't know. So I still fit into these ideals, but I'm also struck with, you know, how can I keep searching for other ways that these issues can be solved?
Am, you're of Syrian background. Were you born in Syria?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about how these events have affected your college experience.
I definitely have to say that this year I was confronted with a level of reality that I didn't expect at all. I mean, I felt like last year maybe I'd started to fit into a place where I don't really have to plead myself as a Muslim or as an Arab. It's been very emotionally draining and very intellectually draining because it was very visible to me that there was a lack of knowledge and understanding about my people. And I feel like I want to change that. And I felt like before, ideally, I wouldn't have to do that, because I feel now it's like so unfortunate to belong to a religion that has to beg for understanding, which I think Islam is like that here.
Well, thanks. I just want to say thanks to all of you, to Sarah Walcott, Jr., to Shane Danaher, Jr., Kyle Smitty, sophomore, and Aham Korbaj, sophomore. Thanks so much for joining us for this conversation.
NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams at Haverford College near Philadelphia.